Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Rumo's first quarter 2020 results conference call, which will be led by Mr. Ricardo Lewin, Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. Beto Abreu, Rumo's CEO. We would like to inform you that this event is recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Rumo's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session for investors and industry analysts, hosted by Mr. Gustavo Rosa, Investor Relations Executive Manager, together with Mr. Ricardo Lewin and Mr. Beto Abreu. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. The audio and slideshow of this presentation are available through live webcast at ir.rumolog.com. The slides can also be downloaded from the webcast platform. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements will be made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Rumo's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Rumo's and could cause the results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Beto Abreu. Mr. Beto, you may begin the conference.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us at Rumo First Quarter 2020 Earnings Conference Call. This time, I take the opportunity to comment on our actions to manage the crisis caused by the new coronavirus pandemic and also to discuss some strategic points regarding the important milestone, which is the Paulista Network Renewable, whose contract was signed yesterday. It's worth noting that the federal decree number 10282 of March 20, 2020, categorized general cargo transportation as an essential service. Thus, Rumo was strictly organized to work in three major fronts. The first one, internal protocols and contingency actions, social responsibility and institutional actions, and third one, financial operations to preserve and ensure liquidity. We executed several actions and protocols aiming to ensure the safety of our employees and those related to our business, like clients, suppliers, truck drivers, terminals, and ports. We also adopted measures such as social distancing and permanent sanitizations in facilities, vehicles, instruments, and locomotives. Moreover, employees in the risk group were structured to adopt specific care and monitoring measures. For administrative employees, we adopted the home office policy. Thus, with safety across all our activities, we have been able to continue operating. We also acted jointly with governmental authorities and promoted social responsibility actions. We identified needs to fight against the pandemic along with health departments of 28 municipalities in seven Brazilian states covered by our concessions. Donation comprised 26 different institutions. We also enter into partnership with MRS, VLI, and Comunitas. We donated school meals to children in Santos metropolitan region. Besides that, joining with COSAN, Rumo made a public commitment not to dismiss any of its personnel. We were pioneers in such initiatives, and we are very proud of it. We work extremely with governmental institutions, states, and municipalities, and these engagements result in various formal acts such as decrees, provisional measures, and ordinance to ensure the continuity of our business. We also adopted measures to preserve the company's financial health. In the first quarter, we raised around 850 million reais to reinforce liquidity and approximately $1.5 billion we raised in the second quarter to ensure the continuity of our long-term investment. Our cash in May then is around 5 billion reais. On the next slide, we will discuss the continuity of our main investment during this pandemic. Our operations and ongoing investment at Rondonópolis Terminal remain uninterrupted. I point out that after concluding the investment, our terminal, which is currently Latin America's largest road and rail terminal, will have 50% more capacity with a higher level of efficiency and safety. In the state of Goiás and Tocantins, investment at the central network continue advancing. The photos on the slide illustrate the ongoing construction of Rio Grande Bridge in the boundary between São Paulo and Minas Gerais and the connection between Central and Paulista network. We expect this operation to initiate in the first half of 2021. On the next slide, I would like to talk about the Paulista network renewal. In continuing to the material fact disclosed on May 27, on the next four slides, I will share with you the strategic relevance and the main numbers of the Paulista renewal. It was a long process, but with no doubt, this is a great victory for Rumo, for the rail sector and the entire country. This is the first time a rail concession in Brazil received a renewal. This outstanding achievement demands a lot of effort from the entire team, who worked very hard during the entire process and jointly with ANTT and TCU defined a solid framework to be a reference in the other renewables. We are immensely proud, and I'm sure that it will reinforce even more Rumo's role in the Brazilian logistics. On the next slide, I highlight the strategic relevance of the renewable for Rumo. Nearly 80% of our results derive from the North operation, where we hold two concessions, North Network, that is worth until 2079, and Paulista Network, now extending until 2058. This continuity for two of our main concessions is key for wealth creation once rails are long-term business. As a condition to the renewable, Rumo will make investment that will double this network current capacity, bringing even further efficiency and safety to our system. With that, we will be able to sustain long-term volume growth coming from the state of Mato Grosso through the North Network, allow the entrance of additional volumes via Central Network, and enables an increase of cargo in Paulista Network and other rails using this network. Let's see on the next slide some points of this extension agreement. For the right of the use of Paulista Network from 2028 to 2058, Rumo will pay a concession fee of approximately 2.9 billion reais. Initially, this amount will be paid in quarterly installments over the next 38 years. Also, a volume achieved are greater than those projected in the NTT model, an additional concession fee may be defined. It's also included in the concession fee and the CAPEX plan, amounts referring to the return of unprofitable stretches such as Cajati and Varginha, and recovery of Panorama and Colombia, which could bring additional demand to Rumo. Rumo also assumed an investment commitment of approximately 6.1 billion reais over the concession period. On the next line, I will further discuss the mandatory investment. So Rumo committed on investment 6.1 billion reais, on which we highlighted 2.1 billion to acquire rolling stocks, 2.6 billion to improve the permanent way, and 1 billion in the urban conflicts. AMTT mandatory investment consider approximately 1.7 billion reais until 2023. The distribution of this investment over time may change due to Rumo priorities, but so far we do not see the need of changing our guidance to deal with regulatory commitments. Now, I turn the floor over to Ricardo Lewin, who will touch on other financial matters related to the renewal and will finally discuss the first quarter results. Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Beto. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. In the fourth quarter of 2019, we had approximately 1.9 billion reais in unpaid concession fees of the Paulista network booked in our financials. The agreement with ANTT allows us to settle unpaid liabilities in 468 million reais that will bring important gains on EBITDA and financial results. The amount deposited in the court will also be used to be deducted from liabilities balances. Also, a second part of the accounts offset in the estimated amount of 148 million will be confirmed by experts' report to then be deducted from liabilities balance. As a result, Rumo should pay to the federal government approximately 1.1 billion reais divided into 8 annual installments, starting on July 16, 2020, with the first two installments in the amount of 50 million reais per year, and the rest in approximate amount of 174 million reais per year. On the next slide, I would like to demonstrate how the renewal affected this first quarter and will affect the second quarter. Besides the accounts offset, it was also a condition to the renewal the settlement of former regulatory controversies of approximately 109 million reais, which were paid in the first quarter 20 and will impact our EBITDA in 64 million reais and our financial result in 39 million reais, both considered one-offs. As already said, the signed agreement will allow us to recognize in the second quarter 2020 gains deriving from the write-off of provisions totaling 468 million reais. We consider both impacts as one-offs. That's why we will adjust our reports for a fair comparison with previous year. On the next slide, let's now talk about the first quarter 2020 results. Now, discussing our results, I'd like to point out that to ensure comparison, we report consolidated adjusted result, excluding the effect of the Paulista network renewal, as already discussed, and the costs and expenses related to the central network, given that the signature happened in 31st July 2019. So this first quarter and the second quarter 2020 results won't be comparable. All other sections of the earning release consider central network consolidation and the effects of Paulista network renewal process, unless otherwise indicated. On the next slide, let's discuss the operational results. In first quarter 2020, our volumes fell 7.6% to 12.3 billion RTKs. In the North operation, volume was impacted by, first, late start of the soybean harvest season compared to the first quarter 19. Second, lower corn carryover inventory in January. Third, rainfall on the Santos Hills and the Port of Santos in March, 73% above the month's historical average. And fourth, cyber attack we underwent in the second half of March, which hampered the recovery of volume in the month. In the South operation, the impact was from the late start of the soybean harvest season compared to the first quarter 19. Second, lower industrial volumes due to COVID-19. Third, soybean crop failure in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. And fourth, the cyber attack. On the next slide, we will discuss our financial performance. Rumo's adjusted EBITDA dropped 18.6% to 653 million reais, with a margin of 45.9%, impacted by reduced volume and lower yield in the quarter. In the North operation, yield plunged 7%, reflecting, first, lower demand for freight in the market in January and in February, second, disappointing volume in March, a month which usually records higher yield, and finally, the signature of take-or-pay contracts in a moment of lower truck freight prices. In the South operation, yield grew by 3.4%, and the container operation saw a decline of 3.8%. Fixed costs, general and administrative expenses, excluding the central network, increased only by 0.7%, less than inflation. Variable costs had a good performance, falling 12% on the back of efficiency gains. Fuel costs dropped 8% in line with volume, and the reduction of unitary fuel consumption by 5.3% offset higher fuel prices year over year. Despite good cost performance, lower operating leverage and lower tariffs decreased margin by 3.2 percentile points. Now, let's discuss the financial results and net income. This quarter result had a financial expense of 531 million reais, 63% above the first quarter 19. The following factors impacted the result. The first factor is the effect of CDI reduction that positively contributed to results. The second factor are two adverse effects. First effect is the review of the estimate to measure the fair value of financial instruments, which resulted in a non-recurring non-cash effect of 160 billion reais. This review results in lower MTM volatility in the next quarters. Second effect is the addition of central networks financial expenses, referring to the concession fee payment amounting to 70 million reais. We reported an adjusted net loss of 136 million reais versus net income of 27 million reais in the first quarter 19 due to lower EBITDA and the non-recurring impact of derivatives estimated by the review, as already mentioned. On the next slide, let's discuss our indebtedness. This quarter, as already mentioned by Beto, we carried out relevant funding to preserve the company's liquidity and financial health. And in May, we achieved a comfortable position of 5 billion reais in cash. This quarter leverage reached 2.1 times broad net EBITDA. On the next slide, let's talk about market dynamics. Concerning the soybean scenario, there's been significant changes since the beginning of this year. According to AgroConsult, soybean trade, despite the coronavirus, is likely to grow to 160 million tons versus 153 million in 2019. Also, we estimate that China should increase its soybean inventory by 6 million tons. And finally, the Brazilian real devaluation accelerated this commodity commercialization in the state of Mato Grosso, which achieves 89% for 2020 and 36% for 2021. Thus, we expect exports to reach approximately 76 million tons, a more positive scenario than initially projected for the second quarter. This trend of higher exports already can be seen in the volume transported in April, with soybean volume growing 28% versus April 2019. On the next slide, we will discuss the outlook for corn in the second half of the year. Regarding corn projections, we foresee favorable availability in the second half, as the state of Mato Grosso should record a greater performance than Brazil's average. And also, considering that most of exports expected reduction from 39 to 33 million tons should take place in the first half, as you can see on the graph on the right side of the slide. Concerning supply, the United States will see greater corn availability due to lower demand for corn ethanol, while Brazil will see a decrease in availability as the planting window was shorter and the climate did not contribute to the productivity in the southern states. Despite the risk relative to the United States, Brazil has a great competitive advantage as the strong depreciation of the real prompted the producer of Mato Grosso to anticipate the corn commercialization, which had already reached to 80% in May 2020. We finish here our presentation on this quarter, which also gave details on the milestone of Paulista Network's review approval. We remain at your disposal for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. We kindly ask you that, in case you have more than one question, please announce it in the beginning and ask one by one to ensure conference flow. Or if you prefer to send your question over the internet, click on the Ask the Speaker button on the webcast platform. If your question is answered during the session, you may remove it from the line by pressing star 2. The questions will be answered in the order they are received. We ask you to use the handset when asking the question in order to maintain excellent sound quality. Please stand by while we collect the questions. Our first question comes from Pedro Bruno, Santander.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the important milestone. I have two questions. The first one regarding Malha Paulista and actually the implications going forward. Is it correct to imagine that the process or the regulatory process of approval for the Sorriso project, which is now Lucas project, right, should accelerate going forward, given that you no longer have the regulatory discussions of Malha Paulista? And what would be the let's say, timetable that you have in mind for that regulatory process going forward? That's the first question.
Thank you, Pedro Bruno. I think it's best to have Beto answering your question. So, Beto, please, you may speak. Sorry, Pedro. I will repeat the question for Beto. So, Beto, Pedro Bruno is asking about the Lucas do Rio Verde project and how do you see the pipeline of this project going forward?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Pedro. Sorry for that. But just going back to the question, I think this is Beto. I think you're completely right. Since the beginning, we as a team have decided to put all the focus and to prioritize Malha Paulista. That was the idea. It was a tough process with our
I think Beto, we missed Beto, so I'll try to answer this one. After we accomplished Malha Paulista renewal, it's clear to everyone that Lucas do Rio Verde is the most important project for the company. So we are going to make all the efforts to start this process with the regulator. It's worth mentioning that last year we already applied for the environmental licenses, allowing us to gain some time in this process. Meanwhile, we don't have the regulatory approval. But, you know, there is a huge pressure for this project in the state of Mato Grosso. We are very excited about the profitability that Rumo can have with a project like this. So we think we have all the means necessary to advance with the project now that we accomplished the Malha Paulista renewal. What is your second question, Bruno?
Marden, if I can, Marden, if I can complete the question, Pedro, this is Levine. Remember that we already advanced in the project, in part of the project in Nova Mutum, where we already bought a piece of land there, and we are starting the project for the Nova Mutum truck terminal. Okay, so this is already a first step in the development of the project. If you can go again to the second question, please.
Perfect. Thank you very much. The second question also relates to the Malha Paulista in the sense that you announced also two financial impacts from the signature, a negative one and a positive one, as you explained, with a net positive. Just to make sure, it's actually twofold the question here. Did I understand correctly that the net impact, when you imply first quarter results and second quarter results, will be a positive of approximately 370 million, which is the net of the negative 100 and the positive 470 in rough numbers? That's the first part. And if that impact is included in the guidance that you provided for 2020 or not. Thank you.
Pedro, Ricardo Levine will answer this question. So please, Ricardo.
Hi, Pedro. Let me go through all what we said before, because this is a good question and it should be very clear. One of the conditions imposed by TCU was for the concessionaire to settle all defined spending payment in legal or administrative appeals. Okay. In this regard, in January 2020, so in the first quarter, Rumo paid the amount of 109 million reais, of which 63 affected our EBITDA. Okay, and the rest affected the P&L, the bottom line, through financial expenses. So this was the only effect in the first quarter. And this was not in the guidance, okay, because we didn't know previously that we would need to pay that. It was an agreement by the end of the negotiations. Now, talking about the effects on the second quarter, okay, there will be a settlement, okay, that will be a result of the accounts offset, and Rumo will reverse at first something around 470 million reais accounted today as liabilities, which will bring corresponding gains in EBITDA and in financial results, okay, but this second part that I said, just reinforcing, will affect the financials on the second quarter 2020. Is that clear for you?
Yeah, no, it's perfectly clear. So a net positive impact overall when you put first quarter and second quarter together. And then the other question was if that was all, the net impact was included in the guidance, and I understand it is not. That's right.
You're right, it's not, and yes, it's a net impact, but affecting in different quarters.
Perfect. You're right. Thank you very much. Thank you for both.
Thank you, Bruno, again for participating the call.
Our next question comes from Alex Falcon, HSBC.
Nice. Good afternoon. Can you share with us what's the IRR of the Maya Paulista Renew, if that's possible? That's question number one. And question number two, it seems like you guys are extremely confident on beating the guidance, even with low numbers in first quarter. You commented on the second half of corn. Can you share just April and May, what you have so far? What makes you that confident? If you can share a little bit how volumes are going, how you guys are seeing the at least second quarter, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for a question, Falcon. I will answer the first one. Then I think Ricardo Levine may comment on the second part of your question. So with regards to the IRR of the renewal, you know, this is not a typical project like the ones like we have in the toll roads. So actually what we are doing here is ensuring the extension of this renewal between 2028 and 2058. To accomplish that or to ensure that, we'll have to pay a concession fee of 2.9 billion reais. And on top of that, we have committed to invest 6 billion reais. It's worth mentioning that this 6 billion reais, it's something that the company was already willing to invest, not to just increase the capacity in Paulista, but mainly because we do have a lot of cargoes in the northern network. And once we aim to increase our volumes there, we need to provide the capacity. So when you think about the IRR, I would argue that, you know, these investments, they don't matter at all because they are investments that we would be willing to do either way. And of course, they pay off based on the returns that we can have on the North network, which is pretty high. So it's very hard to come up with a number, but I would say that 30 years of this concession that is very strategic, in our view, works much more than 2.89 billion reais, which is the exactly amount that we paid for. So it seems a pretty creative, you know, project for the company. And we really believe that we'll be able to extract all the value in the long term from this renewal. Regarding the second part, maybe Ricardo Levine can clarify for you.
Thank you, Mario. Just Falcon, good to have you in the call also. Just complementing Gustavo's answer, remember that as said today in the live by Beto earlier, Malha Paulista is important to have a good operator. It's important to have investments and increase efficiency of Paulista because Paulista is the support for the growth in the north and the central network. So there is a mix in the IRR, but as Gustavo said, for sure, the value is much higher than the 2.9 billion that we're paying. You asked about our confidence in the guidance and about volumes in April, May. Unfortunately, in May, it's not disclosed to the market, the volumes, so I will talk a bit about April, okay? You know that we have already disclosed April volumes to the market, and it's very possible to foresee some trends for the second quarter, okay, for soybean. There was increasing 70% increasing volumes year over year, and 17 is all the volume of the company. Only soybean, we increased more than 28%. Unfortunately, we are suffering in other products, okay, but we are talking about 28% of increase in soybean. That shows that we have expanded our capacity from one year to the other. Okay, we also expect to have a very good second half of the year with corn, and we expect to have a good availability as we talked during the presentation. Okay, so that being said, the short-term guidance is maintained. Okay, in case we foresee during the year any change or we don't get so confident, we will share with you and the entire market, okay? Thank you for the question, Falcon.
Okay, thank you. Can you very quick follow up on this list, because on the first point, everyone is going to make their own calculations, right? And it's all a matter of so the best way to do to infer what's the IRR is just to take the revenues or the EBITDA from Paulista, whatever that is that you guys publish, get the $3 billion. These are quote unquote the investments, and see where that lands. Is that a fair assumption to do?
Falcon, it's a fair assumption. I think you may have to take into account also how much more value can we extract from the Northern network and also from Central network by having the control of Paulista. Clearly, okay, there is a synergy between those two concessions with Paulista. So our understanding is that the value of this renewal is much beyond the financials of Paulista itself. It produces positive effects in Central and in Northern network as well.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Victor Mizusaki, Bradesco BBI.
Hi, good afternoon, and congratulations for the renewal of Monopolista. I have two questions here. The first one, when we take a look on your press release, you mentioned a little bit about the drop of freight price at Mania Norte, something around 2-7%. And one of the reasons is because of the take-or-pay contract. So I'd like to know if you could quantify, how much of this drop is related to the take-or-pay. And the second question, when we take a look on your cash flow, we can see an increase in accounts receivables. And so I'd like to understand if that may be because of the cyber attack, and then in the coming quarters, you'll likely see contract receivables going down a bit. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Vitor. I will take the first one, and maybe Ricardo Levin can complement and try to answer the second one. So with regards to yields, what happened during this first quarter was that, first of all, we had a late crop of soybean compared to last year. And on top of that, we also had lower inventories of corn in January. Because if you remember last year, there was carryovers from 2018 to 2019, allowing good volumes on January. So this was something that we were already accounting, we were expecting. But with this lower demand in the market, the truck price was slightly lower than we were expecting. So that brought an additional pressure to prices, and also delayed a bit the negotiations of additional take-or-pays that right now we have in place for the second quarter. But because of this seasonality issues and because of a lower truck prices, especially in January and February, we had lower yields in those months. When it comes to March, we saw an improvement in the freight prices in the market, but at the same time, we had the operational constraints preventing us from having more volume. And as you may know, March is a month where we have higher tariffs, so we didn't take advantage as much on this because we had the operational constraints. Another important thing to think about the yields is the fuel price. So we saw a lot of volatility in fuel prices, and there was a significantly reductions throughout the quarter, which also helped the truck drivers to afford lower prices in the market. But hopefully and luckily, this process is improving. So we are seeing better prices right now in the second market,
And it will be always very tough to forecast what could happen with prices, because it will depend a lot on the market conditions. We are, confident about our ability to price. In the long run, remember, we believe that there will be some structural things that will help to boost our competitiveness. One of them is the improvements that we are implementing in Rondonópolis. This will certainly improve the cycle of trucks in our terminals, and maybe this will allow them to lower prices, because today they somehow charge a premium to go to Rondonópolis, because the terminal operates very close to the cap of capacity, and therefore it's very likely that they could have to wait to unload in the next day. So this additional cycle time for trucks caused them to increase a bit their prices. Another thing is regarding the toll road fees in the BR 163. We expect this BR to be auctioned, and just after this auction, there might be some additional costs with toll road fees. So we definitely expect our competitiveness to improve. And in that scenario, so far we can say that we advanced well in terms of take-or-pay negotiations. We cannot disclose the numbers, but it's safe to say that most part of our volumes in the second quarter were already negotiated with customers. So we are now much more, we are looking forward to negotiate the volumes of the second half, which are also well advanced. But we still have some room to sell more transportation, and this is evolving well. So I don't think it's a concern. And luckily, we should have good news in the upcoming months. Regarding the second question, yes, please.
So just follow up here. So based on the scenario that you comment, think about March, makes sense to assume that so yield in the second quarter will likely improve quarter over quarter?
I would say that, but remember, we have, again, a lot of things to take into consideration. One of them is the take-or-pay. So all the take-or-pays that we set during the first quarter, the pricing of those take-or-pays is pretty similar to the prices that we had in the first quarter. Of course, now with a higher truck prices in the market, we have the ability to ask for more price in the market. So it will be a blend between take-or-pay agreements negotiated before during the first quarter, which might have lower prices, and additional volumes with higher pricing based on the market opportunity that right now it's very clear. But remember, other things might happen. So right now, we recently have a few price adjustments. So if fuel prices goes up, this could be positive to the company, because very likely truck prices will be also higher.
Okay, Marvin, I will take the second part of the question about the accounts receivables. And Victor, you are right. A huge part of these receivables comes from the cyber attack. So we will much probably fix that during the year. Okay. Let me just complement one thing, Victor, because probably you are seeing in other companies, we have no problem of non-payment by our clients, okay? So I don't know if your question had something to relate to that. Remember that huge part, I would say 80% of our clients are AAA clients, okay? That means very good risk, and our payment term is very short, something around maximum 10 days, okay, or the average 10 days. And there was an increase because of the cyber attack. So your question, the answer, yes, the increase of accounts receivable, a huge part was due to the cyber attack. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rogério Araújo, UBS.
Yeah, hi guys, Gustavo, Levin, Beto. Congratulations on the renewal of Malha Paulista and the resilience during this process. I think it's a relief to all of us. So we've been traveling to Brasília since 2015 to speak about that, and that's definitely a relief. And I suppose we won't stop going to Brasília because now we have Lucas do Rio Verde and perhaps Malha Sul renewal. So let's see. Congratulations. So my question is regarding the terms of the concession renewal. So I have five quick points here that I think is going to be very helpful. And the first one is regarding the concession fee, 2.9 billion reais. I assume this is NPV using the 11% regulatory WACC. So can you confirm that? And if there is going to be something around 327 million reais a year by 2058. So is that correct? That's the first from the 5 points. Let me go one by one, and I think it's going to be clear that way. Thank you.
Hey, Rogério.
Correct. Sorry, Mario. Let's say it's correct. It's around this number, okay? There is a small adjustment because this 2.9 billion is December 2017 value. But it's barely that you said, something a bit more than 310%.
Okay, sounds good. So second point is investment in urban areas, around 1 billion reais. So what's the period for which it should be invested? And is this also a NPV based using 11% WACC? That's the second point.
This is 1.1 billion reais that will be has a long term, okay? The amount to be invested until 2023 is something around 250 billion reais, okay? The rest is long term, and the regard it's not 11.04 miles. Could you confirm that the
Rogério, most part of the urban conflicts will be deployed after 2023. It was discounted in the cash flow by 11.04, but indeed what matters here is in the inflation. So this is the net present value of those investments. How much we're gonna pay for them? It depends on pretty much inflation. We don't have to deliver the money to the government. We must accomplish the investment that we commit with. So you have to adjust pretty much those investments through inflation to see how much we're going to expend to accomplish the project.
Okay, so not an 11% WACC. This is not an NPV based on 11% WACC. This is based on inflation only.
It is not, but on the other hand, my point is, of course, if you reduce the conflict, urban conflicts, you would end up having a higher concession fee, which is also discounted by 11.04. So in this case, what we must do is to deliver the project. Doesn't matter how much it's going to cost. We have to accomplish the project.
Okay, sounds good. So third point is on CapEx. Also, same question. Is it an NPV using 11% WACC? And in Valor newspaper today, there is the breakdown, 1.7 billion reais by 2023, the rest by 2058. So I would like to know also if this includes what you consider as maintenance CapEx currently, which is 1.2 billion reais. Is it considered as well in that number? And is it an NPV using 11% WACC or not?
No, this is not an NPV. This is the total investment that we expect to do in the upcoming years, going beyond 2023. And once again, it's the same. We have the value of the project. How much we gonna end up spending depends on inflation and the efficiency of the project. And yes, you're right. We have all the CapEx that embedded. So we have extension CapEx and also sustaining CapEx. But of course, there is a concentration where the expansion CapEx, it's probably concentrated in the next 8 or 10 years. And meanwhile, the sustaining CapEx is throughout the concession.
Okay, so I and also the 6 billion, I suppose you've done part of that already. So can you say how much you've done already?
Of course, we bid a bit. We will not be disclosing by now how much we did because we have to receive the approval of the regulator. So they will have to check whether or not the investments that we did fit in their standards. So they have to accept that investment. So only after that we can say that the investment is done.
So, but is this more like 10% or 50% of the 6 billion? Just for us to have a broad idea in order to get the assumption in the model.
Rogério, it's really hard to say by now. Of course, we don't want to disclose an exactly number without having the endorsement of the regulator. So that's the reason why we will not disclose further information on this.
Okay, no worries. And then in the indemnification fees for the abandoned rail stretches, I think this has to be defined in 18 months, right? You're going to have to pay a fee to the government, to ENTT, and I think also you're going to have invest part also in making those rail lines operational again. So any idea how much this will cost?
We have two different things here. So first of all is regarding the unprofitable stretches, Varginha and Cajati. Those ones we are agreeing to return the stretches back to the government because it's not profitable and the cities they pretty much took over the railway. It's not possible to have railways there by this time. It's impossible to licensing. So the only thing that we can do is to give it back to the government. It's already embedded in the current concession fee, a value, an indemnification to give it back to the government. So this is already embedded in the current concession fee. On top of that, we took a commitment with the government to recover Panorama, which is a stretch that starts in Bauru region and goes all the way to Panorama and close to the South Mato Grosso border. And the other one is Colombia, which passed through Barretos city. So those areas, we know that we have some significant demand there, demand for grains, for sugar, sometimes even for fuel. So we took the commitment to recover those stretches. This will be a long-term plan. It's not for 2023. It goes beyond that. And we have a CapEx of roughly 400 million reais to accomplish this, which is also embedded in the 6.1 billion reais.
Okay, perfect. Last point. The net 1.3 billion reais of the unpaid concession fees and the credit that you had as labor lawsuits. So this is going to be paid in two installments of 50 million and six of about 200 million reais, right? What is the rate here to be adjusted? Is it inflation? Is it an NPV based
Inflation.
on the WACC? Okay,
No,
inflation.
it's all inflation. We have an agreement, and from now on,
Ricardo,
what we
Yeah. Go ahead.
Actually, it's not inflation. It's Selic. Okay.
Selic. Okay. Perfect. Okay, guys, I'm going to go back to the end of the line if no one answers my other questions. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Rogério.
Our next question comes from Regis Cardoso, Credit Suisse.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. Two from my side. Levine, Beto, one of the topics that I've been curious about in the results was the conversion between EBITDA to cash flow, operating cash flow, which seemed particularly weak. You mentioned the cyber attack on the receivables. That's about 100 million in increase in receivables, not sure if entirely related to the cyber attack. If you could comment, I mean, why did working capital consume so much cash? Is this something reversible? That would be very much appreciated. And then my second question is more on a medium-term view, whether you have any concerns about the corn harvest in Brazil this year, especially because of the competition with the U.S., given the low oil prices affecting ethanol. Thanks.
Hi, Regis. This is Ricardo. Let me start with the second question, talking a bit about corn. Okay, it's important to give you an entire overview, and I will talk also about the U.S. But expectation for Mato Grosso, that's our most important market, is above the country average. In Mato Grosso, we have already 80% of the corn already commercialized, while in Brazil, you have less than 60% of commercialized corn. Okay, if we compare with 2019, there is significantly less export of corn in the first half of the year. Okay. Especially because impacted by January, because in 2018 we have higher inventory that were sold in January, and in June volumes, because these years there is no early harvest of corn. Okay. So most part of the reduction in export for corn will happen in the first half of the year. Okay. What will ensure good volume for export in the second half of the year. Okay, so it's important to understand all the picture. And now talking about your question, that's U.S. Okay, you're right. There will be higher availability of corn in the U.S. As you said, due to the lower consumption of corn ethanol. But Brazil is a very good position, mainly because of the FX rate. The BRL is very depreciated, okay? And this makes our corn that's already competitive even more competitive, even more than it's today, okay? And moreover, Mato Grosso, it's really, really well positioned in this competitiveness. Okay, as I said, there is almost 80% commercialized against 58% in the country. Just to see the level of competitiveness of the Brazilian corn for 2021, okay, I'm not talking about second half of this year, I'm talking about 2021, Mato Grosso has already commercialized 28% of the crop. So not that we expect 2020 being a very strong year, but also 2021 we expect to have a good year. Talking a bit about the your first question, the conversion. If you take first quarter. Of 2019, we had the same question at that period, okay, at that time. And the as you said, the conversion to EBITDA to cash flow was also weak at that point. So it's recurrent what happened in our, not sector, but in the company, and reinforced this year by the cyber attack. But basically, this is something that happens from one year to the other, and that involves both recurrent things or even very, very things that are one time. For example, you have expenses on Malha Paulista that we needed to pay. We have suppliers' payments. You have some judicial demands that happened in the that increased the conversion. Okay, so it's not something punctual, and like last year during the year, this conversion will increase until the end of the year. As I said to Vitor in the previous call, every year we reduce the working capital investment during the year. Okay.
Very clear. Maybe just to follow up on the last one, to see if I got it correctly. Do you think this working capital investment is something that will be reverted, as in you will generate cash from working capital, from removing working capital, or is it just that the conversion will be better for the next quarters, but the investments in working capital you needed to make now are permanent?
Conversion will be much better. It's not that we reverse it, we have a positive working capital, no. It's a more improvement of conversion.
Very clear.
A much better improvement, okay?
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rogério Araújo, UBS.
Hi, guys. Thank you for the follow-up. One more from Malha Paulista Renewal here. So the TCU, they required in their report two requirements here. One, it was like a return review cycle for Malha Paulista, consisting of sharing the income in the case it's above official assumptions. So how did this go? Is there already a model, like a tariff model? How will this work? And also they required clear guidelines for independent rail operators to use Malha Paulista. So is this regulation out already? How this evolved since then? Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. I will answer the first one. So you're right, as Beto explained also in the presentation, we'll have a variable concession fee, which may be charged if we overcome the volumes forecasted in the NTT model. Okay? Those volumes will be split in two types. The first one, it's on cargo performed by Paulista, which arguably has a higher tariff, because when we transport for Paulista, in average, we transport for 700 kilometers, and very likely we'll charge a tariff around 70 reais per ton, 80 reais per ton. So if we do more volumes of cargo in Paulista, of course, they will have to review the model to see how much more concession fee they would have to charge to rebalance the agreement in 11.04. On the other hand, we have pass-through cargoes, which, for instance, includes the volumes that we have in the Northern Network. So those cargoes, we don't have to pay based on the tariffs that we charge from the customers, but instead, from the pass-through fees that we charge in Paulista to the Northern Network, which is much lower than the average tariff that Paulista charge from its customers. So, for instance, today this pass-through fee is around 20, 25 reais per ton. So, when we try to put those things together, I would say that, you know, maybe and hopefully we'll overcome the volumes of pass-through cargoes in Paulista. That means we'll have much more revenues in the northern network, which is something good. And as a side effect, we might have to pay a bit more in concession fee. But this adjustment in the concession fee will only happen based on the 25 reais, which is the pass-through fee. So we are not as much sensitive to pass-through cargoes to change that much the concession fee. On the other hand, we think that the volumes forecasted by the regulator for the cargoes, the own cargoes of Malha Paulista, are already pretty high. So it's very difficult to overcome those volumes. It is possible, but it's not likely. So we don't expect to have any kind of major adjustment in terms of concession fee throughout the concession period. But again, this is, it should be perceived as something good, because if we have more volumes, definitely we have more revenues. And then the methodology to share these revenues is only based in the volumes, and it depends if we are talking about pass-through volumes or volumes that we are serving the cargoes from Paulista network. There is a very complicated
Sorry to interrupt you. When you mean share, is 50-50? So
no,
50% of the extra revenue?
No. No, it's not that. It's much more complex than that. They pretty much bring this volume to the model and try to understand what will be the advantage in terms of fixed cost dilution. And then they realize how much more they have to charge to rebalance. But there isn't a ratio established. Instead, there is a methodology to reveal the whole thing. But again, it makes a lot of difference if we are overcoming the volumes in pass-through cargoes or in cargoes served by Paulista, which have higher tariffs. And for Paulista, we don't see as likely. And when we talk about grains coming from the north, okay, if we have to pay a bit more because we overcome the volumes, it's not a big deal. And it won't be as much, because it will be only calculated based on the tariffs, the pass-through tariffs that we pay in the north.
Okay, we'd like to take the
one
part of the staff. The independent regular operator. Rogério, just... Well, at the end of the day, nothing changed compared to the current regulation, okay? In practice, the concept that's defined by the regulator is difficult to be put in place in large distances, okay? The IRO, that's the independent railway operator, it's difficult for them to be able to have like train drivers to replace the shifts of train drivers after 8 hours, to stay in overnight, like the overnight that we have already built, to have fuel stations. So it's difficult for them to have the infrastructure that we as operator have. Okay, so it's not only acquiring the right of way, but need to have acquire all the other services, okay? Today we have a structure in place like the one we have with Klabin, for example, that the independent railway operation, they buy some assets, okay, and we make the service for them. So this is exactly what we have in the south. If you go to the south operation, you'll see that nice clubbing trains. They did the investment, and we operate for them. And in my opinion, actually in Room's opinion, this is not a threat or Rumo. On the contrary, this is an opportunity that Rumo has in case we want to reduce the need for CapEx, okay? And we want to guarantee the volumes. So at the end of the day, it's even positive for us.
Okay, sounds good. Just confirming on the first, on the return review cycle. So you charge about 170 reais per ton from Rondonópolis to Santos. So can we think that from this 170, everything that goes above the expected volume, the official volume, you would have to pass through about 25 reais to the government. So it's like providing a 15% of your charged fees to the government above a certain level, a certain threshold that you have as official estimates. Is that a good way to think about it?
No, Rogério, it's slightly different. You're right about the tariffs that we charge in the north. They are around 170. And out of that, we have roughly 25 reais per ton as a pass-through fee. What I mean is we only have to share a piece of this 25 reais per ton if we overcome the volumes, not the 25 reais per ton.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's even less.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. It's very clear enough. Thanks so much again, and congratulations for this conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude the question and answer session for investors and analysts. Now I'd like to turn the floor over to Mr. Ricardo Levin for his final considerations.
Once more, I would like to thank you all the investors and sell side for participating of the call. This is a very important moment, not only for Rumo, but for the entire country. The milestone of the renewal of Paulista is the first time in the country that we have anticipated renewal. And we were able to set a model, I think, for the all other renewals in the country. So it's very important for us. We are commemorating this moment. It's very important, as I said. And I'd like to reinforce that we are very positive regard to the rest of the year. So we intend to have a very good second quarter, as well as a very good second half of the year. So I'd like to thank you all of you for the support, always support, having always supporting the company during the last 5 years that we fight for the fought for the renewal. And please, all of you, stay safe. Talk to you in the next quarter. Thank you. Bye bye.
That concludes Rumo's first quarter results conference call. Thank you very much and have a nice day.